News in the Mystery Theater next at 11 o'clock on KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. The Pioneer 11 spacecraft has passed one of its toughest tests. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Richard Wagner is at Ames Research Center in California and reports the latest.
Pioneer 11 has survived its close pass by the planet Jupiter and its intense radiation. The spacecraft came within 26,000 miles of the giant planet, three times closer than Pioneer 10 a year ago. There was no signal from the spacecraft for almost an hour as it passed behind our solar system's largest planet. But at about 25 minutes past 1 Eastern Time, the tracking stations at Canberra, Australia, and Goldstone, California, picked up a signal. There was elation here at Mission Control in California.
Goldstone is locked, and there's a happy group in the control room, and a burst of applause here from a lot of the people standing around the hall and in the VIP room here in the area. Everybody here is very, very happy at this moment.
Next for Pioneer 11 is the long trip to the planet Saturn, 5 years and 1.5 billion miles away. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Ames Research Center, California.
Everything is reported in order on board the Soviet Union's Soyuz spacecraft that was launched on Monday. The Soviet news agency TASS says the mission will last several days and that it will include a simulated docking to prepare for next summer's cooperative planned link-up with an American Apollo ship. U.S. and Soviet space officials are conferring by telephone about the flight's progress, and U.S. ground stations are tracking Soyuz. More CBS News in a minute.
Most appetizers you eat, but there's one appetizer you drink. Dubonnet.
Before, that's the time to think about some Dubonnet to drink. Before a meal by day or night, it helps to whet your appetite. Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Think of Dubonnet as an appetizer. It's the wine you drink before meals, before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It helps to whet your appetite. Whether you serve it straight, on the rocks, with a twist, or soda. Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course.
Before.
Product of USA. Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
More than 35,000 people are still reported stranded because of the first big snowstorm of the year to hit the Midwestern and Mid-Atlantic states. The Red Cross says those stranded are in Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. In Michigan, the Detroit Daily News did not publish Monday because it could not deliver its papers. Detroit had almost 19 inches of snow, and many businesses and schools were closed down. Light snow was reported still falling in western Maryland Monday night. The area already has had 30 inches. The snowstorm in West Virginia Monday kept many of the striking coal miners from voting on a new contract. And so United Mine Workers President Arnold Miller extended the voting period to Wednesday night. Miller is urging the miners to approve the contract. He says it's an excellent one. CBS News asked Miller what he'll do if the miners turn down the offer.
If it has to be rejected, then that would be a mandate to me to go back to bargaining table. And I don't know what we could do going back to bargaining table, but I would go back and do whatever I possibly could do. I said to the membership when I was down here that I thought I'd gotten about all we could get in the agreement. I wanted to be mindful that if we go back to the bargaining table, we would jeopardize the benefits in the tentative agreement now.
Miller spoke in Charleston, West Virginia. More in a minute.
Which would you rather forego? The low prices only a chain store can offer, or the friendly service of an independent dealer? Why settle for one or the other? Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you that you get the benefits of both at True Value Hardware Stores. You see, True Value Hardware Stores are independently owned by a local man, usually a neighbor of yours. He's the kind of friendly guy you get to know by his first name, the kind of handy guy you look to for do-it-yourself advice, and he has his own money invested in the business. So, believe me, you'll never write the chairman of some board to get satisfaction. At the same time, each independent True Value dealer is a part of a chain of over 4,700 hardware stores whose combined buying power amounts to $1 billion. So, True Value hardware stores buy their merchandise for less, can sell it to you for less. Chain store prices, independent dealer service. Get the best of both worlds at True Value Hardware Stores.
President Ford says inflation is the country's deadly long-range enemy, and he is asking Congress to act on his recommendations of a $4.5 billion budget cut. The president, in a news conference Monday night, also called on Congress to pass emergency employment legislation that he has proposed. Mr. Ford said the military budget will probably go up next year because of inflation, but he said in the long run there will definitely be savings in military spending because of the nuclear arms agreement he reached with Soviet Communist Party leader Brezhnev. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The board of directors of TriMet, Portland's tri-county bus system, says it will levy a wholesale gasoline tax and a payroll tax in Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington counties beginning the first of next year. A Rogue River man, 21-year-old Johnny Ray Erno, is being held on $10,000 bail on a manslaughter charge in the weekend drowning of a 12-year-old boy. Authorities charge him with giving the boy wine to drink, then leaving him near the creek in which he drowned. A lone gunman wearing a motorcycle helmet and a face visor held up a Southeast Portland branch of the First National Bank of Oregon this afternoon and escaped with an undisclosed amount of cash. The U.S. National Bank will begin Wednesday disbursing $49 million to the 620 remaining members of the Klamath Indian tribe. In return, the Indians give up the remaining 135,000 acres of their reservation, which will become part of the Wainema National Forest. The U.S. Coast Guard says a 152-foot South Korean vessel is fishing for black cod 20 miles off the coast of Coos Bay. It's the first boat from that country to join the foreign fishing fleet in the coastal waters of the Pacific Northwest. Oregon Secretary of State Clay Myers has charged Portland lawyer George Wagner with violating Oregon law by failing to register as a lobbyist for industrial opponents of Oregon's bottle bill. Wagner faces a maximum penalty of $250 in fines. 97 Sports, Ken Tyler, a senior from Los Angeles, scored 10 points in overtime tonight to lead the Gonzaga Bulldogs to their first basketball victory over the season, defeating Portland State University here in Portland, 91-87. 97 weather for Portland, Vancouver, rain likely overnight, turning to showers tomorrow, then decreasing showers and clearing periods on Wednesday. Lows both nights near 40, highs in the low 50s, south to southeast winds, 5 to 15 miles an hour tonight, increasing tomorrow. Rain chance near 100% tomorrow, then 80% tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Portland, 50 degrees at KOIN. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
I'm E.G. Marshall. Once upon a time, and not so long ago, the family was the backbone, the continuity of life, mainly the continuity. And with woman only recently elevated from Mrs. to Ms., the family began with a sire and ended with a scion. Unfair, unreasonable, ridiculous, of course, right out of the Middle Ages. But the habit persisted through the Victorians. This tale falls midway between. A story of a man's fall to the consuming fires of eternal hell. And it begins, appropriately enough, with a roaring, crackling fire.
Father! Rudy! Oh, I thought you were asleep.
Oh, I was until I woke up to see dancing sparks pouring by my window. I thought the house was on fire.
I was just burning some papers.
Give me that poker.
No, it's too late. It's all gone up in smoke.
But that's my birthright, isn't it? The manuscripts from the safe in the study that are always passed on from father to son.
Trust me, Rudy. I thought it better for you never to read them. It's better, far better for you not to know. Father,
wake up. I must know my future. You can't die without telling me.
Our mystery drama, The Dice of Doom was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Michael Wager. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If you take a look at the new 1975 cars, it doesn't take long to notice the European influence is strong. And to be sure, there are some new American cars that rival the Europeans, one being Buick's new Skylark SR. But don't consider a Skylark SR because of its touring car interior or its rather rakish profile. Consider it because it's a Buick, possessing many of Buick's nicer innovations, like the new Buick V6, a peppery little engine that spits out a plentiful amount of torque while sipping a surprisingly small amount of gasoline. And if you wish, Skylark SR can abound with creature comforts seldom found on cars this size, with available items like Cruise Master Speed Control, AM/FM Stereo. But you've heard enough. Now you need to see and drive a Skylark SR. And try to remember, it's not a European touring car. It's a Buick.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
You're 17. Well, that's plenty old. Old enough to know about things like grass and speed and acid and smack. We probably can't tell you anything about the stuff you haven't already heard, or maybe even found out for yourself. So we don't intend to give you any advice. You wouldn't listen. But the trouble is, neither will your kid brother. He doesn't know half of what you know. He doesn't know how dope can affect your body. He's never spent a violent night hugging a friend who was on a bad trip or watch a guy nod off in class and fall to the floor. He's just a kid and a real setup for anybody out there selling the stuff. We'd like to warn your little brother. Too bad he doesn't trust us. We can't get to him. But maybe you can.
An Advertising Council campaign. The fascination of the future. It haunts and tempts all of us. If we could just know what it held for us. But that's only because if it should be bleak or full of disaster, the human heart cannot help but believe that foreknowledge would help us somehow to change it. But in saner moments, all of us should realize it is far, far better not to know what fate holds in store for us. How much better Rudy Schroll would have been had he left it to luck, fortune, the roll of the dice. That is, any dice except the ones he came to own, Father.
I'm still alive, Rudy. Take me upstairs.
Of course, but I want to know what was in the papers you burned.
Have no fear. I shall not let life go until I tell what must be told. But upstairs, please. I want to die in my own bed.
I picked him up in my arms. So frail and wasted, he seemed lighter than a child. Carrying him up the stairs, my mind was racing backward through all our life together. Fondly, happily. Sadly, now that he was to die. But as strong as any feeling possessing me at the moment was curiosity. Curiosity aroused because coming home unexpectedly a few nights before, I had found my father hurriedly stuffing a sheaf of yellowed manuscripts into a safe I never knew existed. Behind a portrait of the reputed black sheep of the family, my great-great-great-grandfather Helga Schroll. As I laid my father on his great bed beneath the pleated tester, he answered my question.
The manuscripts you saw me putting away the other night, the ones I burned this evening, were written by your ancestor, Helgar. They were a history of this.
Oh, Father, let me go for the doctor.
No, no. No, son. I'm beyond any mortal help now. I was going to say the history of our predestination. And it has all turned out just as Helga wrote in those pages so long ago.
And what can have been so terrible? We've been an exceptionally rich and lucky family. Long lived, even you far outlived my mother and all my long, sad list of older sisters.
I have no time to dwell on others. My own time is too short. And yours?
You mean my time is also short?
No, that I cannot tell you. Only that you are the last of the Shrolls.
The family ends with me?
Yes, but in return, you are promised two things which will bring you every worldly advantage you desire.
What?
They were not named. I only wanted to protect you.
Protect me from what?
The one to whom your great-great-great-grandfather sold all of us to.
Who
else but the... No! No! I will not go!
Father.
I didn't ask to!
Mother! He's dead. Oh, no. May God receive you to heaven as you deserve.
So I came into my inheritance. An inheritance which didn't last long. The last of the Shrolls, with the natural good spirits of youth, soon forgot all feelings of gloom and doom. I returned to the university in a life of wine, women, and most important of all, the siren song that was the theme of my life. Now, by my hope of heaven, send me an 8. Anyway.
There goes your hope of heaven.
Still, Johann, he was close enough by all odds. 1-7 is not your lucky number, Rudy.
For once. When is it with these accursed dice, Friedel?
My dice. May we continue?
How? I'm taking every pfennig I own.
I'll accept IOUs, old friend.
Well, my guardian has refused to honor them. Talk some monies, old tightwad.
I'm on his side. Since you were to marry my sister, I don't want you a pauper.
Oh, Charlotte, need have no fear of that.
The way you throw your money about, my friend, she shouldn't count on it. Now, if she were to choose me...
Well, she didn't.
Poor girl. She doesn't know what she's missing. Oh, well, lucky at dice, unlucky in love. So, the game is over, I take it?
I have little taste for any further.
If you need money, Rudy, borrow from me or take back what you lost. You know we're friends, and what's mine is yours or your heart.
Oh, thanks, Friedel. But my guardian will be here by tomorrow and make all the wedding arrangements here, Weber.
Is the date so soon?
My father is close enough to members of King Frederick's court to hear rumors of war being imminent.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
War?
We should all be officers, we three. We'd be commissioned immediately. Released from the bondage of this grinding charnel house of education. Doesn't it make your blood boil with excitement?
I'm not so sure a man can get killed in a war.
Oh, not an officer, Rudy. They're much too valuable to waste. Well, see you on the ramparts, fellow soldiers.
He's such a good-hearted fellow, you can't help liking him.
Well, I do in all ways except one. I'm always afraid I'll lose Lotta to him.
You're jesting. My sister loves only you.
I hope. I don't like his love for the battlefield.
Oh, he loves war no more than you or I. He's a romanticist. It's the trappings, the uniforms that attract Friedel. At all events, I'm glad of the rumors myself.
You?
Yes, because it will speed up your marriage to Lotta. I think she's just what you need to settle you down before you give in completely to your other love affair.
What love affair?
Gambling. The dice. If I had my way, I'd see you and Charlotte married tomorrow.
As it happened, Johann was a better prophet than he could ever have realized. Lotta and I weren't married the next day, but with foreign affairs worsening, we were married within the next month. The following weeks were the happiest of my life. Lotta brought me a handsome dowry, and at last I had control of my own estate. And then, war broke out. There was no escape for anyone who considered himself a gentleman. Johann Friedel and myself prepared, with, I must admit, great excitement to leave for the front.
Rudy, I think you must be mad.
Oh, I have to go, Lotta. Everyone has joined the colors. Johann Friedel.
My brother and that conceited Frederick von Holtzborn are not married. They are not leaving a wife behind.
Do you want to be ashamed of me?
I want you to be alive. I'd like to have a father for my child.
You're having a child? Mine?
Well, I hope you don't think it's anyone else's.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I mean, oh, it's so wonderful, dear. Except what?
I can't explain. Just some family mumble jumble. It doesn't mean anything now. Oh, my darling, you can't know how happy I am to know that there's to be another generation of Shrolls.
Why shouldn't there be? And since you're going to be a father, you should be excused from fighting.
Lotta, you're right. I'm going to resign my commission today. Unfortunately, I quickly discovered that to leave an army is an infinitely more difficult thing than to join one. Although I would not admit it, I was as disconsolate as my wife. I had no desire for warfare when I reported for duty with Johann and Friedel. Still, the first months in camp were enjoyable enough. There were balls and festive dinners and a great deal of parading and being offered the favors of young and beautiful women who were completely captivated by soldiers. And there were the never-ending dice games, at which, unfortunately, I lost and lost. Never-ending. That is, until one day.
Well, boys, this is it.
This is what?
The war, the front line. Our chance to prove ourselves at last.
Prove ourselves how?
Why, that cannon fire is cutting us to ribbons. We've got to storm the hill and spike those guns.
So, order the men to attack.
They must be led, not by me. What are you, a coward?
No more than I am.
We wouldn't have a chance, Beetle. We'd be cut to ribbons before we got halfway there.
Not with my luck. Follow me, and you'll be safe and heroes.
Dead heroes.
Rudy is right.
You'll take your chances. I'm going to give the command to charge. I'm your superior officer, and neither of you can stop me. Here goes. Soldiers of Prussia, I command you.
Oh, Rudy. What? You shot him.
Madman. What about us all over that cannon fire? We'd all have been killed.
But your friend. How could you kill him?
I value my life more than his. If you value yours, draw your pistol carefully. Aim away from me and fire it.
Why?
If you don't, I'll kill you too.
As you will.
Here comes the colonel. Remember, your pistol has been fired too, so our story is that it's simply a shotgun, Friedel. With luck, we'll get away with it. But our luck held only up to a point. Nobody had seen which of us fired the shot, but the bullet was lodged in the back of the head. Johann and I were separated and held for court-martial.
It is the decision of this court-martial that murder has been done. One of you must pay the penalty with your life before a firing squad. I ask once more in the name of God and of your honor as a soldier that the guilty one confess and not have two murders on his conscience.
I did not do it. Rudy, how can you...
Would you make your sister a widow to save your own life? I did not fire the shot.
Very well. This court-martial hereby pronounces the death sentence. The fate of the man that I will be settled by a roll of the dice. Low man will lose. God, take him away.
All that night I wrestled with my conscience. What little I had left. By morning I was almost ready to confess. Even the family prophecy was against me. With my child in Lotta's womb, I could not be the last of the Shrolls. So what hope had I for the promise of the two things that were to bring me every worldly advantage I could desire?
I will leave you alone with Lieutenant Shroll, Father. Perhaps you will have more luck in inducing him to confess than you had with Lieutenant Brandt.
Well, my son, do you wish to confess?
Father, I...
Peter!
Shh! You're no priest. You're Friedel. Man I killed.
True enough, as the friar pushed back his cowl, his face seemed to be that of the murdered man. Was this some trick of Rudy's tortured conscience? Had Friedel somehow not died? Was this a genuine priest? Or if he was not, who else could he be? And what control had he over Rudy's future? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
When you feel like having a cold Budweiser, do you automatically reach for a glass? Well, sure, Bud's a great beer any way you drink it. But without a glass, you're really missing something. Now take that wonderful Budweiser Head of Foam, for instance. Those bubbles, tiny though they are, still amount to something pretty special at the top of your glass. Taste appeal and eye appeal. Two results of exclusive beechwood aging and natural carbonation. It takes a lot longer to brew Budweiser that way. But brewing beer right does make a difference that you can taste. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've really said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Now, one of television's and motion pictures' most popular stars, speaking from Hollywood, on the set for Your United Way.
This is Greg Morris. I think the thing that impressed me the most is the fact that we are getting mileage out of the dollars that we contribute to United Way. People are receiving professional care through United Way, which is the most economical way to give. You see, when you combine all of these agencies into one campaign, more of the dollars that you give actually go to the people who really need the money. Now, that makes no difference who you are, what color your skin is, what country your father came from. It's for all people. In our town, United Way is there when you need them. None of us is immune to the problems of alcoholism, mental health, kids mixed up with dope, crippled babies. So give your fair share. Thanks to you, it's working the United Way.
In the cell, tortured and dizzy after a sleepless night, facing the fact that a throw of the dice may place him before a firing squad within hours, Rudolf Schroll gazes in horror at the man who stands over his bunk, clad as a priest, but whose face is the face of the friend he murdered. Or is it? For to his fevered gaze, the face seems to swirl and shift and take on many forms, till Rudy is sure of nothing.
So, little brother Rudy, I suppose you never expected to see me again.
Who are you?
You don't remember me? Is it so easy to forget an old friend's face because you shot him in the back?
If you mean Friedrich Halsborn, he was mad. If we'd followed him, we'd all have been killed.
No doubt. You were quite right to shoot me.
You? I don't know who you are.
Your friend, Friedel.
Friedel is dead.
Oh, well, what's in a name? Do you wish to confess his murder?
No. No.
Then have no fear. I will not expose you.
But, Friedel, if you are alive... Somehow,
the man you knew as Friedel is quite dead. Have no fear of that.
But I am afraid. Within the next couple of hours, a roll of the dice may condemn me to execution for his death.
Why not? You're guilty.
Oh, no, you can't trick me that easily.
Dear Rudy, I can do with you whatsoever I desire.
You're not
Friedel.
I am he whom I choose to be. For this moment, your friend. Remember the story of the manuscripts your father... Two things will bring you every worldly advantage you desire. They will come to you. In time.
In time? When? How? Who are you?
I wear the frock of a priest. Can you not trust them?
You are no man of God.
Then you must guess who I am. Still, trust in me.
I dared not admit to myself who my strange visitor was. I was numb by fear. And before I knew it, I was led from my cell to the place of execution. A large and expectant crowd lined the route and followed me to where a sandhill had been built for the execution. But there I met Johann.
Rudy, you still will not confess?
What about your sister, Lotta?
Bring your drum. Put in a drum. Yours is the first roll. Here are the dice. Throw them on the drum head.
May God defend me.
Double sixes.
God heard my prayer.
Well, do you wish to roll, Lieutenant?
If I match it, what then?
We'll roll again.
Give me the dice.
One of the dice. It broke in two.
Yes, there's no reading the number. Has anyone else a pair of dice?
If you please, Your Honor, a poor peddler, but I have dice for sale.
The army does not have to buy. I commandeer one pair of dice from you. Give them to this man. Now, throw.
Yes. My colonel.
Double. Sixes.
Then we must throw again. You first, Lieutenant Brandt.
I cannot ask God to defend me again.
He has not treated you kindly, a two and a one. Sure.
Yes. Two sixes again.
So be it. Take Brant and bind his eyes. Make ready for the execution.
Your dice, peddler.
No, my friend. Yours. The two things that can bring you every earthly advantage you desire, as they have already.
You're no peddler. You're...
What? Friedel, the priest, or...
Shh! Mention no names. I'm your benefactor, so long as my pact with you exists. Listen.
Ready? Aim! Fire!
But for me and those dice, that might have been you. Keep them. They will roll for you what you wish, win or lose, until your time is up.
On the sandhill, my best friend and my wife's brother lay dead, riddled with bullets. My only other friend I had killed. Or had I? Was it some shade from beyond the grave who had placed the magic dice in my hand? For magic they proved to be, I... could lose or win at will, and in no time I had bought my way up out of the army. My life, even my wife's, became the lure of the gambling table.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Rudy.
What else would you expect, Lottie?
Oh, the stupid little maid of mine. I'm waiting for her to bring my dress.
What's the matter with any of the others?
Nothing I have will fit me. This child of yours is ruining my figure.
On my word, I'm glad in more ways than one you're carrying a child.
What does that mean?
Even as it is, the men all pay too much attention to you, and sometimes I think you to them.
The baby, that's all you care about anymore. Not me, just your precious child.
You don't know how important it is to me to have a son.
A son, a son. My body is just a machine to manufacture your son and heir. So help me, God, if for no other reason than just to spite you, I pray night and day for a daughter. If I produced a lowly female child, wouldn't there be the devil to pay?
In any case, there will be the devil to pay.
day, my friend.
Rudy? Rudy?
What?
Are you all right?
Why do you ask?
Well, you suddenly went as white as a sheet and stood there as though you were listening to someone else or something inside you.
It was nothing.
Well, I didn't mean to tease you about our child. If you're angry about that...
I'm not angry.
Oh, that'll be Elsa with my dress. Now, are you going to take me gaming tonight?
Tonight? All right, but afterwards... I'll meet you downstairs in the library. I had to be alone for a moment. Things had been happening so fast and so fortunately, I'd shut my mind against thinking about consequences. But now, with two quick brandies to clear my head, I began for the first time to face a riddle I wondered if I knew how to solve.
As the last of the long line of Shrolls, fame, money, and love are my share. Except how the devil to keep them if my wife bears my son and my heir.
Where did you come from?
Who are you?
Who else but your friendly fool, your jolly court jester, your majesty?
Perhaps you'd recognize me better in this shape.
Fiddle. Again.
Would you rather look upon me as I really am?
No. No. I must be going mad. You can't be Friedel.
Of course I can't be Friedel any more than a peddler, a priest, or a jester. You know who I am. You also know a pact was made with me long ago, that you were to be the last of the Shrolls, and that I would give you two things that would bring you every worldly advantage you desire. I have kept my part of the bargain. The devil's dice you have. But you have not kept yours. Your wife is carrying a son.
There's nothing I can do about that. There is no way I can destroy my own unborn child.
But I can. You have only to ask.
No.
Very well. You have made your choice. One last word. If you ever need me, light a fire at the last stroke of midnight, throw in the dice, laugh loudly. The dice will split, and I shall come to you.
What are you trying to do? Set the house on fire? The smoke is as thick as a blanket. What need have we of a fire if we're going out? And such a fire, it smells as if the devil flew down the chimney.
Not down, little wife, I wanted to say. But up. But I had no words left to say in a raging desire to bury my thoughts. Make my mind a blank. Shut out everything with the wonderful fever that had brought me every night to the tables. Where I could win or lose at will. Where I alone was king.
Ashrow's point is 10. Dice. A 5 and a 2. 7 is a loser. That is 40 to the first better, 20 to my hair number 2, 50 to the lady.
What's wrong, Rudy? You lost again.
That's right.
But this is the 10th night running. Now you must go back and win.
With what?
With your luck, your magic touch. You always end up winners.
This time, apparently, I can't go back.
Why not?
Because I have no money. Have you?
No. But my jewels.
Already pawned. We're bankrupt, Lottie.
But what are we going to do?
Come along. We must get home. I have things to do. I put a sleeping powder in Lottie's evening draft that night. I built a fire, striking the first match with the last stroke of 12. Then as the fire caught, I threw in the dice and laughed. A wild, hysterical laugh with a life of its own that shook me from scalp to the soles of my feet. A laugh that became a sob. At the last moment, I tried to reach for the dice and draw them back before it was too late.
Rudy!
a fever as overpowering and as vitiating as drugs or alcohol. All can be cured with the addict's cooperation. But eventually there comes a point of no return, the point Rudy has reached now. Will he pass it, or is it still not too late? I'll return shortly with Act 3.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin, plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
Rudolf Schroll stands before the fire he has just lit, his hand extending to pick up the dice from the flames. But in the very act of reaching, he draws back. Is it fear or greed that forces him to leave the dice there to split in the heat and summon up his nemesis? Is he committed to take another step on the road to eternal hell?
It's too late. The dice have cracked.
Yourself.
Am I not the one you called?
Yes, but you are always in some other form.
This time the occasion is serious enough for you to see me as I am. Why did they call me?
The dice. They've lost their power.
Through whose fault? Nearly 200 years ago, I made a pact with your great-great-great-grandfather, Helgar Schroll. For close to 2 centuries, I have lived up to my side of the bargain, as your ancestors have lived up to theirs. Only you have tried to change the terms.
I just want what any father wants, a son.
A son to carry on the family name?
Yes.
No. My pact was for 5 generations, and I want no more of the Schrolls to trouble me. No child.
But how can...
Leave that to me.
But I don't want my wife to be hurt.
Would you rather I took you now, as I can do with your contract already broken?
No. No. No, no.
Have no fear. Your wife will come to no harm. You will live out your time on Earth, and the child would never have been born in any case. You underestimate my power. And your dice will have their magic again. See that in all else you obey me, or they will be disarmed, and I shall drag you to the pit that moment.
Satan be with you.
He was gone as suddenly and completely as he appeared. The devil from blackest hell. And yet as he spoke, his face had rippled like a reflection in a windy pond. And the form kept changing. Changing, ever changing from satyr to Friedel to the priest to the peddler to the croupier and back to the satyr again. Malevolent, diabolical, menacing. For a moment it seemed a dream, and then I was looking at the dice in my hand. Whole again. And hearing the final proof.
Rudy! Rudy! Help me! I'm losing the baby.
It took a little while to raise enough to get started again. But once I had a stake, I was merciless. When I cleaned out everyone's pocket in one town, I'd move on to the next. We lived up to every magnificent penny I made. Our parties were legendary, haunted by every profligate in Europe, stained by every sin in the lexicon. Lotte failed to recover her figure. Wine and brandy, the culprits now. The Baron von Schrollhausen, as I called myself, was much too rich to be unattractive. No matter what my excesses. And so at last we came to the Riviera in France to run up against my most formidable rival in the game of chance.
Who is that perfectly gorgeous man at the baccarat table?
That, my pet, is the Comte de Mauvray, the second most important gamester in Europe.
Some say the first.
That's a matter we'll settle someday.
Is that the Comtesse by his side?
It is. And she is beautiful.
She's a painted hussy, that's all. Oh, he's getting up. Perhaps he'll come our way.
Lotta, here's Franks. The wheel is waiting for you.
Oh, but I
prefer to meet the Comte alone. Go.
Yes, Rudy. If you insist.
Very few things would tempt me away from the baccarat table, but I believe I recognize the great Baron von Schrollhausen.
At your service. And I'm flattered at the recognition. The Comte de Mauvray is, of course, known worldwide.
Oh, I am flattered in return. May I present my Comtesse Margot, the Baron.
A pleasure long deferred, Monsieur le Baron. That is your wife who just left?
Yes, Lotte, she is not at her best these days.
Oh?
Well, I'm being unfair only because I am blinded by your beauty. Fluttering little hand lay in mine like a bird's as I kissed the back of it. But from her palm to mine was passed a tiny ball of paper.
Well, Baron, it was fated we should meet eventually. When do we cross swords?
At what game?
Chemin de fer is my favorite.
Unfortunately, I do not play cards.
Ah, only the dice. Then, since I am challenger, you have the choice of weapons. When do we begin?
Since you select my game, the time should be named by you.
But tonight, I'm committed to chemin de fer. Tomorrow, I must leave for business in Marseille. Shall we say, 1 week from tonight?
Accepted.
In the meanwhile, bonne chance at our tables, but save your best for me, eh? Now, if you would excuse me, I must return to my game.
And you, monsieur, must take me and introduce me to your baroness.
May I suggest a glass of champagne?
Oh, what a delightful idea. Especially since they are serving on the other side of the casino.
Especially.
It will give you a chance to glance at the billet doux past you, unobserved by either of our spouses.
I must admit it has been burning a hole in my hand. So I shall weed it as we stroll, unobserved. Except by you.
That is nothing to be afraid of, since I wrote it.
You. The provision.
My own Petit Trianon. A private little retreat of mine at the other end of our chateau gardens.
And your husband will be away all next week.
May I expect you?
Most beautiful woman in France. Why me?
Regardez-vous même, Baron.
I'm no beauty, Madame la Comtesse.
Ah, you are something far better and more exciting. A man among men. A gambler who wins and wins. A man like you gets in my very blood.
But your husband
My husband and I are one thing. You and I, another. Besides, you'll be away. I shall expect you tomorrow at, say, 4. You are marvelous. Everything I expected of you. My lover, my strong one. What is your strength?
My strength? Is your desire for me.
Then meet me again. Tomorrow. Here.
Same time.
The same magic hour. What makes a man a gambler, Rudy?
I don't know what makes a man a doctor.
Study, dedication, desire?
Well, for a gambler, the first two. But the third, that's a fever, Margot. Must we waste our short hours together talking?
Not when you mention fever.
That's what you've become for me.
But you've already won me.
Not enough, not yet.
Not for me, with you. What I really meant yesterday, I suppose, was what makes a man a winner?
What makes your husband one?
Ah, that's simple. He's rich enough to be able to play long enough till the odds have to tilt his way.
What happens to us when he comes home? Do you go back to him?
I am a very selfish woman, Rudy. I love my pleasures and thoughts and you.
Then if I promise you I will win the game, do I also win you?
You'll never beat Le Comte.
Three days later, the great game began.
I let the 200,000 francs ride. Will the Comte cover me?
The Baron is covering.
Very well.
Eight is the point. Easy eight.
Anyway.
Seven.
I win. My dice, I believe. 11. A winner. I let all ride.
How much is in the pot?
840,000 francs.
You're covered.
A natural lucky seven. Will you cover me again?
It was impossible. Five nights in a row I lost to the count. With my dice, but that couldn't be. No one could cast a spell over them but me. Unless I drew them from my pocket, examined them, twisted them this way and that under the light. But that was part of their secret. How could they be told from an ordinary pair? And this was no ordinary pair because I never let them out of my possession. Margot, Le Comte, I'd been taken in by one of the oldest tricks in the world. Where are they, Margot?
Rudy, where are we?
My dice! You sold them for me to give your husband.
Rudy, don't be silly and put down those pistols.
I suggest the same thing.
So you're here, Monsieur Le Comte. Very well, my dice. Or I swear I'll shoot that witch. Charm them away from me.
I don't have your dice.
I warn you. I'll shoot her if you don't give them up.
Shoot and be damned.
Ah, Dieu. Mon Dieu.
You've killed her.
Just as I'll kill you to get my dice back.
They are not yours, Rudy. They're mine. And I decided it was time to take them back. Poor Margot. Still, her death will serve a purpose. You will be guillotined, my friend. But don't worry. When you join me, I'll rejoin you.
Damn you, my dice!
You can't damn me.
You think that?
That was enough to kill me when I was Friedel, old friend. But you need more firepower than that to stop the devil.
some disagreement among the judges at the trial as to whether Rudolf Schroll should be guillotined or sent to a madhouse. But the Comte's face, as he testified, was so white and frozen with grief that Rudy's wild story was judged a deliberate attempt to escape his crime of conscience. He died under the knife, fulfilling the prophecy that he would be the last of the Schrolls. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Sam Spud, private investigator. Oh, Sam, I'm so glad you called.
You sound rattled, Angel.
I'm frantic, Sam. I went to buy the carpet for the office and I got so confused. There are too many kinds. I didn't know what to ask or what to buy.
I'll help you, young lady.
Mercy, who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, when you're choosing carpet, make sure you pick a long-wearing one that'll go with your walls, draperies, and upholstery. Beware of so-called fantastic bargains. And don't buy a carpet that isn't labeled as to fiber content.
Oh, Sam, now I know what to look for and ask before I buy a carpet.
You floor me, Angel.
Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
As for the dice themselves, no one knows what happened to them. There have been stories since of winning pairs that make fortunes for their owners. It's doubtful, with so many professional mechanics in the field these days, the devil would bother with dice. He has so many more fruitful opportunities as the world turns today. Our cast included Michael Wager, Carol Tytel, Ian Martin, Gordon Gould, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You know what I'm going to do, Laurie? I am going to turn this car right around and head back to the city. This whole trip is more foolish than funny.
Oh, no, George. Please don't.
A pocket full of poses.
Hey,
two,
what's
two.
That?
We all fall.
You hear something like singing?
Ring a ring of roses.
Let me open the window.
A pocket full.
It's a woman
poses.
Singing that old nursery rhyme.
Two, we all fall down.
But what's that snapping
ring
sound?
A ring
it sounds
of roses.
Like a piece of leather. It sounds like a whip.
George, what are you doing?
I'm getting out.
Two.
Something's happening here that I don't
know. Don't open the door. Please don't. We'll go back if you want.
I'll be right back. Keep the window shut and the door's locked.
No, don't leave me, George.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sign-Off, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Midnight at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. The Pioneer 11 spacecraft has successfully passed through Jupiter's most powerful radiation belt. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The successful pass by the radiation belt came about an hour ago. Richard Wagner reports from Ames Research Center in California.
They're calling it Pioneer Project Saturn now here at Ames Research Center in California, as Pioneer 11 has successfully made it through Jupiter's intense radiation belt and is on its way to the ringed planet. Preliminary data indicate that the spacecraft was affected by the radiation and some of it detected because of its speed passing through the radiation. Pioneer 11 received less total radiation than its predecessor, Pioneer 10, did a year ago. The spacecraft will not be completely out of danger for another half an hour, but scientists here are confident that the worst of the radiation danger is past. The spacecraft will continue to function, and the visit to Saturn 5 years into the future is more probable than possible. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Ames Research Center, California.
I'll have more news in a minute.
If you happen to live in one of the towns or areas which don't enjoy the brand name selection and economy of having a True Value hardware store nearby, you probably get awfully tired of hearing me say, "Hi, Pat Summerall here with another great value from True Value hardware stores." And that's understandable, because all the great values in the world won't do any good if you can't get to them. Well, do something about it. Next local hardware, home center, or home and auto supply dealer, ask if he's ever considered joining the True Value Group. Tell him to drop me a note. Pat Summerall, CBS Radio, P.O. Box 50. That's CBS Radio, P.O. Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, for details. If your local dealer qualifies, he'll be able to start offering the kind of savings on brand name products which only a member of the nation's largest and fastest growing hardware chain can offer. Get the point? If a True Value hardware sign goes up in your town, you'll both be glad you had the idea.
President Ford is asking the American people to support the nuclear arms agreement he reached with Soviet Communist Party leader Brezhnev. Mr. Ford said last night at a news conference that it's a good agreement, and I think the American people will buy it. The agreement will get close examination from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Wednesday, when Secretary of State Kissinger is scheduled to appear and explain its provisions. Kissinger may be asked about the agreement today when he goes before the Senate Finance Committee to testify on a trade bill. The bill would give most favored nation trade status to the Soviet Union. Congress has amended the bill to encourage the Soviets to employ a freer immigration policy for Jews and other minorities. Kissinger, along with Senator Henry Jackson and presumably Soviet officials, reportedly has worked out an arrangement calling for an easing of Soviet immigration policy for the 18 months that trade concessions would be in effect. Ethiopia's military rulers have put a tight curfew on the capital city of Addis Ababa. John Lawrence tells us why.
The Ethiopian capital is under virtual martial law after two bomb blasts which killed at least 3 people and injured more than 15. The ruling military council has imposed a 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew, ordered all citizens to carry identity cards, and warned of what it calls drastic actions against anyone sabotaging the popular movement. 5 men were arrested, one an Ethiopian general. The other 4 were captured in a violent, last-minute gun battle near the British Embassy. The military council is blaming the excursions on followers of the 60 noblemen and former officials who were executed 9 days ago. But the attacks bear the stamp of the Eritrean Liberation Front, a guerrilla group which has been fighting a war of independence for 10 years in its northern province. John Lawrence, CBS News, Addis Ababa.
More in a minute.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean Sinoff.
Exactly.
Exactly right. When sinus flares up with congestion and pain, insist on Sinoff tablets. Sinoff delivers a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sinoff helps sinus pain while you drain. Use only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Sure, I've heard that phrase, give to the college of your choice. Good idea. And I know all colleges need more money, what with inflation and all. It's just that since I graduated, I've been so busy, not just with my career, but with the community affairs, too, I haven't found the time to reevaluate.
Take the time now and give more to the college of your choice. Now.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
The Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization says that a precision approach radar system that was dropped from use 4 years ago might have prevented Sunday's crash of a TWA jet west of Washington, D.C. All 92 people on board were killed. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
An autopsy has finally cleared up the cause of the death of a Wapato, Washington woman whose body was found lying behind a rural road near Wapato Sunday. Yakima County Coroner Dr. Richard Muzzle ruled that 46-year-old Phyllis Escalin died after she was hit by a car. The state police originally ruled that the death was a hit-and-run accident, but officers later found evidence that homicide might have been involved, and sheriff's detectives were called to the case. The sheriff's office is still investigating the case. Governor Tom McCall might be stepping out after two terms as Oregon's chief executive, but he apparently plans to go out with a flourish. The Republican but independently-minded McCall got talking about the possibility of changing the name of the Grand Old Party and other matters during a meeting of the few remaining GOP governors Monday in St. Louis. He said that while he was not calling for a third party, in these words, "At what point, in terms of percentage, at what point do you stop building on debris and start looking for a new site?" He also asked whether Republicans should not consider adopting a new party label. McCall also defended President Ford for not coming to the meeting, running into some criticism from Governor Meldrum Thompson, Jr. of New Hampshire. Thompson, one of the most conservative GOP governors, also warned that unless Ford changes the direction of his leadership and picks someone besides Nelson Rockefeller as his running mate in 1976, Ford would not win New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary. McCall, although disagreeing with virtually every point Thompson made, also expressed doubts about the party's future. The King County Council has approved that plan to seek a new prime contractor for the domed stadium in Seattle. King County Executive John Spellman said a new contract for the structure already looming above the Seattle waterfront area can be awarded next Tuesday. Well, Tuesday was the deadline set for the county by the prime stadium contractor, the Donald Drake Company of Portland, to resume work. As expected, the Drake Company did not resume work, and Spellman said he has already taken steps to terminate the $31,700,000 prime contract. The contractor and the county are at odds over who's responsible for extra costs incurred during construction of the stadium. Drake has filed a $10 million lawsuit in connection with the claims. A 21-year-old Rogue River man has been charged with manslaughter in connection with the drowning Saturday of a 12-year-old boy in Evans Creek at Rogue River. The complaint charges John Ray Erno with causing the boy's death by furnishing him with alcoholic liquor and leaving him in a place where it was likely he would drown. The body of Michael Ramsey of Rogue River was found after he failed to return at night. Erno's bail is set at $10,000. And a bail of $50,000 has been set for Lloyd D. Criswell of Central Point, accused of pointing a rifle at an Oregon State police trooper and pulling the trigger, only to have the weapon misfire due to a weak spring in the firing pin. Criswell was committed to Oregon State Hospital after the November 10th incident involving Trooper Marvin Dillazal, but since has been released. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area, rain becoming showery during the day. It'll be showers and partial clearing tonight and Wednesday. High temperatures both days in the low 50s, low tonight near 40. Winds to the southwest, 10 to 20 miles per hour, and the chance of measurable rainfall near 100% through tonight. And that's KOIN AM/FM News at 1209. This is Alan Archer.